Welcome to A Beggar Who Found Bread. I'm your host and resident beggar, Brad. I found the bread of life, the promised one, the Tzaddik, the righteous one, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua of Nazareth. My hope is to offer guidance and direction to any and all who are embarking on a quest to find this bread. This episode, Seek. Credit Beauty Core Rockers, Gold, Frankincense, and Myrrh for the title to this episode. Comprised of sisters Maggie CJ and Lulu English out of St. John's, Florida, Gold, Frankincense, and Myrrh, also called GFM Band, bring a strong metalcore feel with some more delicate melodies as well. Maggie has also started a side project, Magdalene Rose, with the single A Bad Residential, and that song features Under Oath vocalist Spencer Chamberlain. And it's kind of funny, when I first saw and read the name of the band, Gold, Frankincense, and Myrrh, and they're these three sisters, honestly what came to mind was, you know, three sisters singing contemporary versions of your favorite hymns at church. Then I listened to them. These girls rock. As for GFM, my two favorite tracks are Burn Your Fears and Graveyard of Identity. Check those out when you get a moment. It's time for us to journey forward in this episode, because it's not about the music. It's about the message, Seek. Over the last few episodes, we've been looking intentionally at the practical application of what it means to follow the Master Yeshua, the Messiah. When you get time, if you haven't been keeping up, you can go to the I Don't Want to Die episode. That's kind of where this started, and that's followed by Follow the Leader, Show Me How to Live, and Priceless. In the Priceless episode, we discussed the importance of one's motivation in following Yeshua and pursuing the coming kingdom of Hashem through him. Today, we'll take a look at some of the behaviors of the early Yeshua followers. And before we jump in, I'd like to share a reminder of the words of Yeshua to serve as a hinge point, if you will, between the Priceless episode and this episode, Seek. The Master is speaking here in Matthew chapter 6, and we will begin at verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans eagerly pursue all these things. Yet your Father in heaven knows what you need, knows that you need all these. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's a familiar passage from Yeshua's Sermon on the Mount. In its context, certainly the Master is encouraging his followers not to fret or be anxious about daily needs. The Father knows our needs. Yeshua instructs to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Above all, before anything else, this should be our top priority: God's kingdom and his righteousness. So what does it mean to seek the kingdom of the Holy One, blessed be he, and to pursue his righteousness? Does it mean searching for heaven, exploring our way to the pearly gates? Well, according to my understanding, I would say no, or at least not exactly. And this is not to quibble over what I believe is a significant misunderstanding about the coming kingdom, a literal coming kingdom. to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness has to do with how we, as followers of the promised Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth, are to live in the here and now. It is not to say, well, my fridge is empty, but at least I'm going to heaven. Or I have no food to eat, but I'll have a portion at the great feast in the coming kingdom. That's not what's being described here either. Yeshua is directing us to increase our understanding of how Hashem wants us to live, how he created us to live from the very beginning, and to draw near to the Most High, that we would live according to the Creator's initial intended purpose, which will be completely and fully revealed to us and realized in the coming kingdom. Getting back to the fulfilling of the manufacturer's design plan and living it in this present world, Olam Hazeh, as we anticipate the arrival of Olam Haba, the world which is to come. I think there are some who look to almost an apocalyptic or feel like they need to look to an apocalyptic writing of John in Revelation to determine what the coming kingdom will look like and maybe to glean how we are going to live at that point in time. I think that how we are intended to live, how Hashem intended us to live now, should reflect or predict, if you will, how we are to live in the coming kingdom. I see what I believe to be the same error in dispensationalism, as far as comparing that with how people think we live now and what and how we will live once the kingdom comes. There seems to be that same thinking error that goes along with dispensationalism, which is, well, there was a dispensation or a time of law and obedience, but now, after Messiah has been revealed, we are in the dispensation of grace, where there are no consequences for sin. People live how they would like without concern for their behaviors, and then when they get to heaven, they will live the way God wants them to for eternity. I think you have to be very cautious in what scriptures you must omit and redact in order to support that doctrine. So let's read from the Torah. Deuteronomy chapter 30. For this mitzvah that I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it far off. It is not in the heavens that you should say, who will go up for us to the heavens and get it for us, and have us hear it so we may do it. Nor is it across the sea that you should say, who will cross over for us to the other side of the sea and get it for us, and have us hear it so that we may do it? No, the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it. It's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 through 14. How we will live in the coming kingdom, which is how we should conduct ourselves in this present world, is not too difficult. It is not too far off, not up in heaven or requiring some distant journey. These words are echoed also, this passage from Deuteronomy are echoed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Roman believers. These truths, these words, are accessible to us for application in our present day lives. They are not far off, these ideas and these concepts, where we have to wait for someone to get them for us and bring them to us, or for some apocalyptic experience. They are available to us now. They are in As scripture says, they are in your mouth and in your heart. Well, how do they get there in your mouth and in your heart? How are you going to have them in you, becoming a part of you, your very the fabric of your being, and be what you speak and live? How does that happen? Well, I believe it happens even as it was written earlier in Deuteronomy, that we are to be diligently teaching these things to our children, which would mean that we have been diligently taught these things. That's the natural order of how these things occur or should occur. Now, many of us didn't come from that type of a background where these things were taught to us, and so we put ourselves under the teachings of others, that we would be diligently taught the words of Hashem, that they would then be in our hearts and they would be in our mouths, that we would be speaking them and living them. We don't need an apocalypse, a heavenly unveiling, to know how Hashem wants us to live. How He commands us to live in this world is a reflection of how we will live in the world which is to come. The Torah, the prophets, and the writings, the Tanakh, the Hebrew text, reveal how El Elyon, the Most High God, created us to live in this world and in the next. The Zadik, the righteous one, Yeshua HaMashiach, exposed the deeper meaning and application to us. Seeking the kingdom and righteousness of Hashem is, in fact, an intentional studying and searching of the scriptures. It is a seeking of the face of Adonai Elohim, the Lord our God, as Yeshua revealed. The kingdom is among you. He is with us. Even Yeshua is with us with 0 degrees of separation by the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. As much as is possible, as much as possible, redeemed by the Father through Yeshua and empowered by the very breath or wind of God, we are to live as will be lived in the coming kingdom. We are to live now as it will be then. I believe that the more we live according to the laws and commandments of God now, it prepares us for what will come when Gan Eden, paradise, is restored. Okay, so that's the prelude to this episode. Well, it kind of is. That went a little bit longer than I intended. As I mentioned in the last couple of episodes, I'm starting my own personal study through the book of Acts because, well, in many ways, it reveals how the followers of Yeshua should act, how they did act, which is how we should act. And I'm not certain that we will go through the entire writing on this podcast as far as studying it out completely together, but for starters, we are. And we will see how things go from here. We do need some context for the book of Acts. So this book was written by Luke, who is also the author of the Gospel of Luke. To whom was this letter written? Acts and Luke are both addressed to a specific person, Theophilus. Now, of course, both writings would garner a much greater readership and application for many others. So who is this Theophilus? There are differing opinions on his identity. He was a person of some authority, as revealed in the first chapter of the book of Luke, where the disciple calls him Most Excellent Theophilus. So he's giving him, he's revering him in some way as an authority figure, Most Excellent Theophilus. Now, some speculate that perhaps he was a government official or someone higher up in the Roman military structure. There's a common thought that Luke was a Gentile follower of Yeshua. And this may have been, if this was the case, I will say that he would have been a proselyte. He would have been a Gentile who converted to Judaism and then followed Yeshua under the teaching of the apostles, particularly Paul. The other most common but not widely accepted understanding of the identity of Theophilus is that he was a Jewish high priest. First century historian Josephus records a high priest by the name of Theophilus, who was in that position from about the year 34 to 38. So it is possible he was the intended recipient of these writings of Luke. And I bring up the aspect of some who believe Luke is or was a Gentile because it is commonly held that his writings were intended for more of a Greek audience. And so this may be the case. If in fact he was a Gentile prior, that I firmly believe that he was a proselyte because there's so much of a Jewish understanding in what he writes, it would not be possible for him to have all of that as a Gentile. He had some training, he has some understanding that would come from being proselytized, becoming a Jew legally, and then following the Master, Yeshua the Messiah. So it's, again, it's possible we have either a Roman leader of some sort or possibly a high priest. Both of those make sense for different reasons, as far as the intended initial recipient, the specific recipient of these writings. Acts was most likely written in the late 60s and possibly as late as the year 80 in the Common Era, AD. It chronicles the movements of the followers of Yeshua from about the year 33 at the ascension of the Master and for approximately 30 years after Yeshua's ascension. And it's important that we know these things because even in the later chapters of the book of Acts, we see some things that we should understand that I think a lot of people they either intentionally ignore or they don't like to really focus on or think about, and specifically that the apostles, the disciples, were still engaging in temple practices. Sacrifice offerings. They were still certainly focusing on and honoring the feast days of Adonai. So we'll get to that perhaps later. But as you study through, these are some important things that you should take a look at and understand. Luke is not an apostle. His writings are canonized because he was a disciple of he was a direct disciple of the apostles. He did not walk with Yeshua in Yeshua's earthly ministry, Luke. His gospel is a retelling of all that he learned from the disciples of Yeshua and the apostles. He was evangelized and put himself under the instruction of the apostles, those who walked with and were sent by Yeshua, most notably Paul. The purpose of this writing is really the Gospel of Luke Part 2, the book of Acts is. It could easily be labeled Luke 2, after the ascension. And it's to inform this person, Theophilus, whichever Theophilus he is, of the validity of Yeshua's ministry. And that's why either of these supposed identities of Theophilus stand to reason. So he is informing of the validity of Yeshua's ministry and also Yeshua's identity as the promised Messiah. So there's some brief history and context on the book of Acts. And if you're going to study along, study through it, it's all good information to have. Let's just start at the start. We'll take a look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. I wrote the first volume, Theophilus, about all that Yeshua began to do and teach up to the day he was taken up, after he had given orders by the Ruach HaKodesh to the emissaries he had chosen. To them he showed himself to be alive after his suffering, through many convincing proofs, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, while staying with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father promised, which, he said, you heard from me. For John immersed with water, but you will be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh not many days from now. So when they gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? He said to them, it is not your place to know the times or seasons which the Father has placed under his own control, but you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and through all Judah and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I'm going to pause here for a moment. Yeshua's followers are under the impression that paradise, Gan Eden, is about to be restored on the earth in this moment. The Master, Yeshua, clarifies that it is not their place to know. That's the Father's business. Yet, we still have so many today, 2,000 years later, fixated on predicting the where, the when, and the how. Some folks need to rent the movie Frozen and sing, let it go, let it go, let it go. Let's focus on what the Master wants us to focus on. However, Yeshua gave a vital follow-up statement after telling them, basically, it's none of your business. He gave an important follow-up statement. You will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and through all Judah and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So how I interpret what is being said here is, it's none of your concern when the kingdom will be completely restored, but I'm going to send you a helper to empower and guide you to live the kingdom way in this world, and the power you receive will enable you to be my witnesses, to testify who I am throughout the entire world. Now let's pick up in verse 9. After saying all this, while they were watching, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they were staring into heaven, as he went up, suddenly two men stood with them in white clothing. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here staring into heaven? This Yeshua who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So they witness Yeshua ascending bodily to the right hand of the Father, their eyes fixed heavenward for such a long time that a couple of angels, it appears, had to get their attention so they would snap out of it. Stop being so heavenly-minded. Get back to following the instructions of your Master, Yeshua. They went from the Mount of Olives, where Yeshua ascended, to Jerusalem, which is a Sabbath day's journey. This is about a half mile That is in accordance with the distance one is permitted to walk on the Sabbath, a Sabbath day's journey. So they walked from the Mount of Olives into the city, into Jerusalem. They gathered in the upper room to select a 12th apostle, as Judah Iscariot, was no more among them, for obvious reasons. And we should note, this is what occurred in the upper room, the selecting of the new apostle, Matthias. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened days later on Shavuot or Pentecost, at which time these followers, these feast day observing and honoring Torah observant Jewish followers of the Master Yeshua, they would have been in the temple on Shavuot, which is where the outpouring of the Spirit occurred and when it occurred. In the early moments and days after Messiah ascended to the Father, the apostles and disciples are adhering to Yeshua's specific instruction. And it's kind of a trust me, wait here and see, you will not be disappointed. That's the kind of direction that they got from Yeshua, and his followers obediently obliged. Now, we know what is about to happen because we have the rest of the story, Paul Harvey. But we know what is about to happen. And, you know, as we continue this line of study, we will move forward in the book of Acts. And as I said, Lord willing, we'll keep bringing this into this podcast. But as it sits right now, I would ask, please examine yourself. Is there something that you are waiting on from Hashem? A particular promise? Salvation from certain circumstances? Restoration of relationships? Some other aspect of life where maybe you're getting impatient or questioning if it is God's will at all, that for which you are hoping? I want to encourage you, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. You can still fulfill your purpose for today. This is the only day that we have, is today. And so waiting on and fixating on a bigger purpose that is down the road that you think may be happening or expect in your life, you cannot sit idly by. We can't sit on our hands and wait for that to come. Because if we aren't fulfilling our purpose today, we will not fulfill any future purpose. Trust Him. He is faithful. Be still and know He is God. You will not be disappointed. But continue with your hands to the plow and continue to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's what matters. That's what Yeshua said is our top priority. Seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And so that is time in His Word, studying to understand what is His righteousness, what does righteousness mean as defined by the Holy One, blessed be He, which is how we are to live in His kingdom. So studying to understand these things, asking Him to reveal and to strengthen us by His breath, His wind, the Ruach HaKodesh, to fulfill these things in our lives. Trust Him. He is faithful. You will not be disappointed what is to come. But stay focused on top priority, what is most vital, seeking His kingdom and His righteousness in the here and now. And what is supposed to happen will happen as we continue to press in and to follow Him and to seek His kingdom and his righteousness. I hope that this has blessed you, encouraged you, even challenged you. As always, please study to show yourself approved of God. Don't just take what I say, but please study to show yourself approved of God. You are responsible for your relationship with Him. There is a lost and dying world out there who desperately need to find the bread of life, the Messiah, Yeshua. May we help them in their quest, and let's go out and give them heaven, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. We seek to follow the Master, Yeshua, the Messiah, that we could live, and God's righteousness, perhaps some that overwhelms. It's like the passage of Scripture, and we've discussed it in a recent episode, where Yeshua said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." And we read where we are to walk blamelessly. And these things, and to walk blamelessly is explained at the end of one of the Psalms. There's a great passage that says, that talks about walking blameless, which is not intentionally sinning. When we know what is truth, when we know what is right, when we know sinful behavior from righteous behavior, when we are able to discern the holy from the profane, we walk in that holiness. We walk in what we know is righteous behavior. Unintentional sin, unwitting sin, unwilling sin, as we have discussed in past previous episodes, there's so much to go into Yeshua's sacrifice regarding that. I'm sorry, I'm wandering right now. And I just want to convey to you to apply what you know is in the Scripture, what you know to be truth, what you know to be righteousness, what you know to be the way that God has called us to live, which is how we will live in the coming kingdom. That's kingdom living here and now, as we discussed in the Priceless episode, to walk according to His way. Let's do that as we go out and give Him heaven. And until next time, may the favor that the Tzaddik, the righteous one, the Master, Yeshua the Messiah, found in the eyes of Hashem be upon you and all your household. And the peace of God that passes all understandings reign in your hearts and minds in the Messiah, Yeshua. Grace and peace. Chayn Shalom.